thank you for tuning in to the VTI podcast, brought to you from day one of the 2012 VTI Research and Development International Conference. Thank you for tuning in to the 2012 VTI Research and Development International Conference podcast, taking place at the Midland Hotel in Manchester across the 3rd and 4th of September. The podcast aims to executively summarise many of our conference activities, from plenary speakers and workshop leaders through to our special interest sessions and dedicated research strand. The podcast will begin with VTI Director Ellen Pierce providing an overview of the aims and objectives of this year's 2012 conference.
So we have four key themes for the VTI conference in 2012, and specifically we're going to consider the strategic and practical implications of a range of policy developments across the globe relating to doctoral education and employing researchers. We're going to look at building institutional capacity for researchers' professional development to maintain research excellence and produce excellent researchers. We're going to look at demonstrating the value of researcher development, both to research outputs but also to researcher careers and their impact on economic prosperity, society and culture. And finally, we're going to look at sustainable practice to support researcher skills, professional and career development.
Comparing a range of international strategies for developing researchers, our following plenary speakers represent a range of perspectives from around the globe, including the US, Japan, Australia, EU-wide, and the UK. I will now introduce our first plenary speakers, of whom will provide an executive summary of their presentation. These are Dr. Bob Sowell, Vice President of Programs and Operations at the Council of Graduate Schools in the United States of America, Professor Shelda Dabrowski, Higher Education Researcher at the University of Western Australia, Professor Taiko Kitamori, Vice President of Human Resource Development and Internationalization at the University of Tokyo, and Martin Hines, Chief Executive of the European Science Foundation. Dr. Bob Sowell.
Thank you for the opportunity to present here to the VTA conference. The topic of my presentation or discussion today was based on a commission that the Council of Graduate Schools and the Educational Testing Service in the U.S. has just completed that is addressing the issue of lack of transparency as to career preparation of students with doctoral degrees, that is, the career tracks that they might follow. Traditionally, at the PhD level, our faculty have trained students to follow in their footsteps for research and teaching in an academic environment. But the fact is that we know that roughly half of our PhD graduates do not indeed go into the academic job market, and particularly true in the science and technology disciplines, where as few as 25% go into academic positions. So the commission is addressing the fact that we really need to do a better job of preparing our PhD graduates for jobs outside of academia, jobs in industry and government. The commission, after surveying about 6,000 graduate students or former graduate students, graduate deans at about 500 of our CGS member institutions in the U.S., and 10 representatives from industry and government representative organizations that hire our PhD graduates, have made recommendations. The commission has made recommendations for both the universities as well as employers and policymakers. For the universities, the commission has recommended that we provide at the institutions, at the universities, we provide professional skills training beyond the technical, the disciplines, technical programs, that we actually provide them with things like working in teams, like communications, and that we also engage our career development offices career guidance offices, I should say, at the universities to help our PhD students be better informed as to what career options are outside of academia. And the last thing that the commission has recommended that our universities do is do a better job of tracking where our doctoral graduates actually go, what types of careers they do follow, and to make that information available to prospective graduate students as well as to our graduate faculty so they would be in a better position to prepare our graduates for the careers that they will have. There was also a couple of recommendations for our employers. One is that they engage more with the university, that they provide opportunities for our graduate students, while graduate students, to do internships at the universities, as well as for our faculty to engage in collaborative research with industry. And then finally, for the policymakers, the commission recommended, I should say, that funds that are made available for research assistantships for our doctoral students be enhanced to provide opportunities for those students who are on research assistantships to spend a portion of their time actually in some of the professional development activities, as well as that the federal government provide more funds for our doctoral students in the way of fellowships that would give them an opportunity not only to study in their discipline, but also to actually engage in professional development activities while they are graduate students.
Professor Shelda Dabrowski.
Well, from an Australian New Zealand perspective, we're looking with great interest at the UK and where it's developing. The Vitae initiative has been very important, and certainly in the recent Churchill meetings that I held in the UK, people were noting how valuable it's been. And I think this is a type of approach that Australia needs to start looking at, because certainly at the moment we're working from the bottom up without a large degree of cohesion across the country. So that's a challenge for us. We're seeing a large growth in competitiveness and invigilation of researcher performance, and that's pushing for higher performance from research active staff, but without the commensurate support for research development. So in Australia, New Zealand, this is an area of, I think, increasing consternation without a great deal of strategy around it. So I also spoke in my session on some of the results from my Churchill Fellowship, and there are three key points that might be of interest to people listening to this podcast. The first is that the research developer role is, I think, a growing professionalisation, and it's a really exciting initiative, and it will open up some very important opportunities for people to start to support this important aspect of higher education. But one of the areas that perhaps needs to be considered a little bit more fully is how do you then bridge not just from those who are experienced in research, but into better skill bases for those trying to do the development work. And I'd particularly encourage people to look into organisational development and learning and development with adults as to how that enriching experience can be made better by the way people operate. Mentorship is a very important area that is underdeveloped at the moment, and we need to be thinking much more clearly around how can we increase the support for mentorship so that it is a very powerful embedded strategy for anybody in an academic or research context. And the other thing that has certainly been evident in the work I've done recently is the lack of strategy institutionally around research development. So most vice-chancellors, pro-vice-chancellors, are not overly sure how to develop a cohesive approach that also integrates stronger leadership obligation to support researchers and their development. And I think this is perhaps one of the critical missing links we need to work on across the many nations who are now starting to grapple with these issues.
Professor Taiko Kitamori.
In the field of engineering, so our PhD is very closely connected to the industry. And so showing the figure, the GDP is closely relating to the number of the PhD. Because PhD so produce new knowledge, and then so all the PhD so solve the complicated problem. That kind of the training of the PhD is indispensable for solving the social and the industrial problem. So that is one of the most important ability of the PhD. So the specialty is a second priority. Okay? So this point of view is mutually understanding so among university and industry. It takes a long time to also agree this point. And now, industry, recognize how important the PhD is. And so, for one example, from a couple of years ago, so Hitachi Company of the Central Research Laboratory, hired more than half of the PhD of the new employee. Like that, more concretely, connection between the industry and academia through the PhD becomes faster and faster. So in future, to survive as a nation of science and technology, we must keep the number of the PhD. So we'd like to invite excellent students from all over the world. If the benefit is only for us, so that kind of the strategy doesn't work. So we must harmonize to all over the world. That is our point.
Martin Hines.
My session was talking about the international supports for researchers. Being from the European Science Foundation, my view is that from Strasbourg. So looking at supports from the Commission, looking at the supports from our members, looking at where researchers go to. One of the points I made is that in a recent report, we observed that the deficiency in demand for researchers in Europe is clearly on the enterprise side, on the non-university side. So if you compare the numbers in the university side in Europe and in the US, roughly around the same, however, dramatically different demands in enterprise. This indicates a clear policy gap where we need to introduce better systems for mobility between sectors of the economy. We looked quickly at the supports available in Europe and noted the doubling of funds available to the European Research Council proposed for Horizon 2020, and of course the maintenance of supports for the Marie Curie actions. Marie Curie actions will remain very important, but the emphasis on co-funding means that the nation states themselves will have a more important role to play in the exact policies to be introduced. Marie Curie actions indeed give an opportunity to improve this mobility between the enterprise sectors, or at least the non-university sector, and employment options and career development options for researchers. I noted the very well-developed researcher development framework under the Vitae system. I acknowledged that Vitae indeed would have been one of the primary actors in Europe in this regard, and announced that we'll be, as ESF, launching the results of a members organization forum in this area of application of the Researchers Development Forum across a specific number of other European countries. I encourage people to come along to our session this afternoon, looking at the implications of this, and acknowledge the support of the Commission in extending this further to other European countries. One other area I covered is one that I do hold a passion about for many years, and that is research career tracking. I know that in Ireland, each PhD formed costs the nation between a quarter and half a million. In what other aspect of life would we give rise to that investment and not track it over the succeeding years? I think we really need to invest in career tracking as a means for providing the best outcomes for people's, individuals' investment in their research career.
Over the course of day one, the conference played host to 26 individual workshops delivered by a range of UK, EU and international speakers, covering a number of topics, including embedding training and development in the research environment, the impact of the researcher development and research careers, implications of policy developments for higher education institutions, developing the global researcher, key transitions between academia and industry and other sectors, including employability and work experience and internships, developing researchers for knowledge exchange, enterprise, public engagement, and research in policy making, developing researchers for leadership, multidisciplinary and collaborative working, developing a pipeline of research talent, including widening participation and attractiveness of research degrees, and finally, equality and diversity issues for research careers. For all our online listeners, we have made available a selection of individual workshop podcasts, 3 minutes in length, and accessible alongside our main Day 1 and Day 2 podcasts. Exclusive to Day 1, the VITAI conference played host to a range of special interest sessions and a dedicated research strand, an opportunity for those carrying out research under the conference themes to present their work. Proceedings from the research strand of the conference will be published in a special edition of the International Journal for Research Development after the conference, subject to the normal peer review processes of the journal. Alongside our individual workshop podcasts, you will also find available a number of individual special interest session podcasts too. These will be available on the official VITAI conference webpage, www.vitai.ac.uk/conference2012. To close the podcast, VITAI Director Ellen Pierce will provide some conclusive key points and take-home messages from Day 1 of the conference.
So reflecting on the first day of VITAI 2012, there were some really big challenges which have come through, particularly in the plenary sessions. Some of these challenges are, why do we fund researchers and where will their employment be? How do we do more to link researcher development with organisational development and strategy building? How do we put research staff into the strategic vision of the institution? And at the same time, how does researcher development fit in the new student-focused world? There are some themes around impact. What's the unique contribution of PhDs in a highly complex environment? And this goes beyond employability. We need to answer the question, why invest in PhDs and not in other highly skilled people? The comprehensive spending review needs to focus on outputs and outcomes. We need to demonstrate and articulate the value of researcher development within the institution. There's a theme around mobility, the need to address the fact that the UK researcher population could benefit from increased mobility. And there's now a whole range of schemes and partnerships which are based on two-way mobility. There's an important theme around the pipeline of researchers and the extent to which undergraduate programmes include the research experience and whether or not these undergraduates make more attractive recruits into doctoral programmes. And finally, there's a very important theme around leadership, and this was both for undergraduates, postgraduates, research staff and academics. And as a final note, we need to be imaginative and flexible in our career development provision.
Thank you for listening to the 2012 VITAI Research and Development International Conference podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening, and for further resources relating to the conference, please visit www.vitae.ac.uk/conference2012. Thank you.